From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Claire Strempel with a statewide and local news update. The Juneau Teachers Union has declared an impasse in its negotiations over a new contract with the school district. The district's initial proposal included a pay increase, similar to what the union asked for, but it also included a 25% cut to health care contributions, which means teachers would have to pay an extra $400 per month next year. Juneau Education Association President Chris Heidemann says that's a major concern, especially for young teachers.
That's a huge, huge cost for our members, especially the early career teachers who are farther down on our salary schedule, who aren't married, oftentimes single, living on their own, and don't really have other options for health insurance. That could be devastating to them.
The union and the district have been negotiating for 10 months. The previous contract expired in June. Thunder Mountain High School history teacher Jamie Marks says the wait has been frustrating, especially after the pandemic brought additional stress to teachers.
I don't feel that the district is unwilling to award a reasonable contract to teachers. I'm upset that over the last 3 years, we have given what we have given, and the board has not seen the need to be quicker in its response so that we're feeling respected, et cetera.
Several teachers expressed similar feelings at this week's school board meeting. Juneau School District Superintendent Bridget Weiss says it's hard to hear.
It is stressful on everyone the longer these negotiations go, and when teachers or any staff begin to feel undervalued, it's heartbreaking.
She says the proposed health contribution cuts were meant to prompt discussions with the union about funding priorities. Discussions will continue in the coming months with the help of a federal mediator. Heidemann says he expects mediation to begin in January. After 32 years of state service, Gail Fanumiai has left her post as director of the Division of Elections. She handled an election year like no other, and as Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin reports, never lost her cool.
Fanumiai is retiring just as Lieutenant Governor Nancy Dahlstrom takes up her new duties, which include overseeing elections. Fanumiai says the arrival of the new lieutenant governor is coincidental and that no one asked her to resign.
Absolutely not. I started thinking about this in September.
Nationally, doubt in the integrity of elections has threatened the fundamentals of democracy. But in Alaska, Fanumiai just kept going, a steady hand on the rudder, no matter what the wild election year of 2022 threw her way. In March, she learned the slow advance toward the state's first ranked choice election would be a quick sprint due to the death of Congressman Don Young and the sudden need for a special election. In June, she administered the state's first election conducted entirely by mail. In August, 3 months earlier than planned, she directed the first ranked choice election. And as though to further challenge an elections administrator, that special election took place on the same day as the regular primary, which wasn't all that regular because this year it was under new rules. Fanumiai didn't break a sweat.
I didn't personally feel that that was extremely stressful. I think we had a good plan in place.
Her mantra was just to follow the rules as set out in election law. Even if the law is new, even if a special election pops up unexpectedly, even, she says, with extra obligations to educate the public about the new methods of voting.
I'm very proud of all the staff at the division. I think I'm going to go back to the special primary, you know, the first all-by-mail election in the state, a very condensed time frame in which to conduct it, and I think it went very, very well.
Fanumiai hasn't taken a position on whether the system Alaskans adopted in 2020, the nonpartisan primary coupled with a ranked choice general, is good or bad. She's not going to spoil her neutrality by venturing an opinion on the way out the door.
And I think it's really important that whoever's in this job has that neutrality. No partisanship, because this job, there's no room for that at all.
One person who has seen Funumiai in action for years is Anchorage attorney Scott Kendall, the architect of Ballot Measure 2, which produced ranked choice voting. He says he witnessed peak Funumiai in 2010 when he represented the U.S. Senate campaign of Lisa Murkowski during her historic write-in campaign.
Gosh, I think it was ultimately 8 days, 10 or 12-hour days, you know, hand-counting write-in ballots.
In a big warehouse in Juneau, Funumiai personally reviewed thousands of challenged ballots, hour after hour, day after day. Kendall says he never saw her lose her composure. And if she had a personal opinion about the merits of any ballot challenge, she didn't let on.
I would never play poker with Gail Funumiai. She just had this amazing demeanor of, you know, firm and confident, but just never lost her cool, not once.
Funumiai says she has every confidence that Alaska will continue to conduct elections with the highest level of integrity and transparency. She advises any skeptics to sign up to be a poll worker. They'll see how many checks and balances are built in and how passionate the division staffers are about doing the job right. As for Funumiai, now that her state service is over, she plans to volunteer at her church. She's interested in the food pantry and maybe the summer lunch program. Work always had to come first, but now she can set other priorities. For Alaska Public Media, I'm Liz Ruskin.
For the first time, the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District is holding an Indigenous Language Film Fest in February. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
The festival will showcase short, locally made films featuring Alaska Native languages like Dena'ina. Those films will later be stored for future use by tribal organizations and schools. Rachel Pyok is the district's coordinator for Title VI, which supports programming for Alaska Native and Native American students. She says her departments wanted to incorporate more language programs into the district to celebrate the United Nations Decade of Indigenous Languages, which began this year.
What better way to highlight Indigenous languages than to have people make films that could then be housed and possibly used in tribal or school district classrooms, especially knowing the history of how Indigenous languages have been viewed and silenced by school systems.
A handful of district schools already incorporate Indigenous languages into their curricula, including schools in Port Graham, Nanwalek, and Tayonek. Separately, the Kenaitse Indian tribe is spearheading language revitalization efforts of its own, too. Pyok wants more of that learning to be available through all Kenai Peninsula schools. She says since COVID, the Title VI department has taken a big step toward ramping up the district's cultural programs in general. And the film festival is another branch of that effort. Pyok says she worked with an advisory committee to make sure the project is respectful and authentic. Video submissions can range between 1 and 5 minutes, and just a portion of each film has to feature an Indigenous language.
Even if it's simple as an elder teaching a preschool class a couple of words, what a great video that would be. Just grab your iPhone, ask your umma or your uppa or your auntie a question, and go ahead and get started.
Pyok's already working with Peninsula educators to encourage their students to submit videos. They'll all show at a film festival in February, and after that will be archived on the Title VI website. Already, Pyok says the project has kind of exploded.
So it's actually gone a little bit farther than I thought. We do have a group in Anchorage who has requested, even though it was just supposed to be for the Kenai Peninsula, the Story Knife group for Kokilut Tribal Council in Anchorage, it's an after-school program, asked, can our kids please submit? And I said, sure, we'll create a friends and family division.
The festival's open to non-Title VI filmmakers as well. Federal funding covers costs for Title VI students specifically, but Pyok says the district can supplement with additional funds to cover the costs of working with non-Native students. And she says that's important since anyone can benefit from learning more about where they live.
It's giving a voice to the languages of the land and its people.
Pyok hopes the project strikes chords with families, too. She's been moved by her own experience recording her mother, who's Finnish.
Getting her on video telling how to make the traditional bread. I mean, that's such a gift for my family. This can also be a gift for the participants' families.
You can find guidelines for film submissions on the district's Title VI website. The deadline to submit a film is February 1st, 2023. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
It's misty in Juneau. The high temperature was around 43 degrees today. Rain and snow are expected Friday with temperatures in the high 30s. Temps are expected to drop Friday night and then plummet into the single digits over the weekend and early next week. You're listening to KTOO.